And I said to her, you can't do that with a melon. Oh, hello, everybody, and welcome to the Infinite Loopcast.
Yeah, witty.
See, now I can hear the intro. I can start doing really, really bad jokes like that. Aaron, how's it going?
All right. Yeah.
Good. Two of us again this week.
Been away, yeah.
Nothing else going on this week. Definitely no one lurking. Bottom of the Skype chat. Do you reckon he's gone to go and get coffee?
Probably.
We are actually meant to be...
I don't drink coffee.
Oh, there you go. In case you don't recognise that voice, that is the voice of Sai, who you may remember hosts the show with us.
I was on about 3 weeks ago. 2 weeks ago?
Yeah. I think people started to think that we may have been the same person, because we can never be on the same show at the same time.
But we might have been.
Yeah.
We have split into two, like Venom and Carnage. I don't know if that's what Venom and Carnage do, but I think it is.
No, I don't think that's the case. Is it? I thought Carnage is Venom on a different person.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because
I could be wrong.
It's an infestation.
I never really liked
it?
Venom. Yeah. I think they're different things.
I don't know. I was never into Marvel.
I like Marvel, I just never liked Venom as a bad guy. I felt it was cheating.
Yeah, I was always a DC Vertigo guy. So.
Well, the film's coming.
It is.
What film?
Venom film.
Yeah, it's going to be rubbish.
Is it?
It is.
Yeah, they're trying to like make Venom into like an anti-hero.
But he is sometimes, isn't he?
No, he's just a general douche. I think it's going to be absolutely naff. I've got little faith. Because it's not by Marvel, it's Sony Marvel, isn't it? And until Sony gave the Spider-Man license back or let Marvel deal with it, all the Spider-Man films were naff. And I think the same thing's going to happen with Venom.
The Spider-Man films naff?
Yes. Every single one was absolutely dreadful up until Homecoming.
I've not seen that one yet. I must see that.
Oh, Aaron!
I was never a big Marvel fan, so...
Oh, Homecoming's fantastic.
I've just done a deluge of Marvel films, trying to work my way up to Ant-Man.
Ant-Man and the Wasp or Ant-Man?
Ant-Man and the Wasp.
Yeah, I don't know why I'm not feeling so excited about going to go and see that. I'd rather go and see the Happy Time Murders. Which quite tickles my fancy.
Is that the one that they got sued over?
The puppets?
Didn't they allude to it being Muppets and they got sued?
No, because it's Brian Henson. It's the guy who owns the Muppets.
Oh, okay. Then it was Avenue Q, is it?
Possibly. Possibly that got sued. Yeah.
But I have a feeling even this might have done. They sought an injunction against it or something, I can't remember.
Who knows? I'm sure somebody owns the rights to the Muppets. Shall I have a look? Sorry, so what on earth have you been doing?
What have I been doing? Playing, yeah. Well, okay. There's a little tidbit for the end of the show, but after the show.
The Muppets are now a wholly owned subsidiary of the Walt Disney Company.
Yeah, the Muppets are, yeah. I don't know about whatever that film. I've been playing some board games because that's what sad people do.
you've been playing Gloomhaven, have you not?
Mm-hmm.
Is it as good as everyone raves about?
It's pretty good. I don't know about as good as... I don't know about the best game of all time or whatever people think it is.
Yeah, I mean, that's literally what people advertise as. It's like the tabletop game to end all tabletop games.
Yeah, I'm not so sure about that.
No, I feel like there must be some hyperbole there, right?
Yeah. Yeah, there's some... I don't know. It's a legacy game, so you add stickers to the board and stuff. But it doesn't really need to be. Some of it's just a bit... You know, as long as you can keep a record. So you did go through a campaign.
But you can get reusable parts for it now, can't you? So people have made, like, removable stickers and things.
Yeah, the removable stickers. And the people who made the removable stickers have just kickstarted another game called Villagers, which I kickstarted.
I'm on Villagers as well.
Yeah.
It's a deck builder. Well,
it is. And you build a village in a deck building game.
Yeah. I'm on it. I'm not convinced, but I'm on it.
It's not a collectible card game, so it's not like...
No, it's not a CCG. No. I've got quite... Since we've last hosted a show, I've also got quite into board games. I don't have much space in the cupboards anymore sort of way.
No, I don't either. Any in particular?
I really like Azul.
Azul? I don't know this one.
Which Aaron
I was
going to
say, which one's that? I was going to say...
That's the tile laying one.
Oh, the tile one. Okay, yeah, quite enjoyed
so
that one.
Basically the premise of the game is that you're laying tiles in the Alhambra Palace, but you can. There's a whole. It's really fun. It's on tabletop.
Oh, is it one of the Alhambra games?
No, it is not one of the Alhambra games.
It's not in the Alhambra big box. Well,
no.
They do this weird thing where they do a big box of games.
Yes. Okay. It is not, no, but it is not that, no. It is something very different. And it's really good. It's sort of like a Euro strategy sort of thing, like abstract, like Euro game. But it's very good. So essentially, you've got five different colours of tiles, and depending on which game mode you're playing, you've either got a preset layout or a freeform layout, and you've got a grid. 5x5, and you've got to lay the tiles in the grid using a production line, but you can't mix and match the colours of the tiles in the production line, so you can only have per row one type of colour. And there's like a sort of almost like a buying element to it, so you've got to get the tiles, but if you take the tile, you've got to take all of that colour tile from that shop. There's like nice little, it's strategy light, but it's really good fun. And the freeform version of the game is so much harder. And I say harder. It's harder to plan ahead. Like, you can come unstuck. You can get stuck really, really easily.
Okay.
I really recommend that. The other one that I've played, and Aaron played with me as well, is Santorini.
No, I don't know. Are you playing this on Tabletop Simulator, have you?
This is also on Tabletop. I've got these in physicality. And I played them in physicality as well as Tabletop.
You're not breaking any copyright laws there, then?
Nope. I own them.
I don't know what the legality of the stuff on Tabletop Simulator is.
I think a lot of it is actually released by the people themselves.
I know Gloomhaven is.
Right.
Seems weird, but...
But Gloomhaven is, but you don't have the instructions, which seems weird because they're not hard to find.
You don't have the instructions.
So on the Tabletop Simulator one, there's no, like, instruction manual. It's just all the bits. I think that's how they've done that one. So Santorini is pure strategy. The aim of the game is to build a tower and get onto the third floor of the tower. Towers can be four floors, so you can be blocked from going onto the third floor. And you have two players each, two characters each, and it's grid based. It's brilliant. Really, really good. It's like building chess. Aaron liked it, and that's a big compliment for a board game.
Yeah, I got a bit unstuck at one point because I built myself into a corner. But
you did. But you built yourself back out of the corner.
Yeah. It worked in the end, but yeah. It's quite interesting.
No, I like that one. Claire doesn't like it. Claire much prefers it all.
Well, I'm trying to think. So I played a couple of games that they recently had the Tabletop Expo at the NEC. It's the same place
they do. Did you go to that?
I did indeed. It's much better than EGX in terms of, you know, doing things, buying, sale. You know, if you want to buy board games, that's the best thing to do.
Really?
Or the worst thing to do, depending on how much you need to save your pennies.
But as in, like, those good expo discounts there?
Yeah, definitely. You know, games I've had on watch lists for a while, and then you just go in. And then you pick up so many spur-of-the-moment ones as well, or you go to the second-hand bring-and-buy. Some of the stuff in there is not even second-hand, but, you know, you go to the bring-and-buy, and you can pick up Kickstarter editions where people have ditched their Kickstarter editions and stuff. Mm-hmm. So much to buy. But, yeah, I'm trying to segue into video gamey games now. But I played one there that was like a bit like Risk, but you played some of the game on a tablet at the same time. So events happened on the tablet.
Oh, that's those, cool. You know,
multi, and that was quite good. It was like a new, nice new twist on Risk.
What's it called?
Leaders, I believe.
Leaders.
It's about £30 on Amazon. I think it was £30 after show, and they said it's normally 40, but it's actually only about 33 at the minute. It's a little bit, I don't know if I need to play a full game, so I don't know if it gets a little bit slow, a little bit detached with people, you know, entering, because you can have spies and things,
okay.
Which you enter into the app, so others don't know that you're buying a spy. So you allocate all your resources in the app as well, and you can, you know, instead of just buying like you do in Risk, or, you know, recruiting like you do in Risk, you could also, you know, upgrade your, you know, manufacturing, or get a tank or something.
My problem with games like this that use the tablets is that at some point the technology will get superseded.
So can sure, you... Yeah, but you'd imagine that most stuff now is legacy. You know, you can go back in.
No, well, not if, no. A lot of it isn't, is it?
It was on iOS, though. But I mean, most things you can find an Android AP. If someone saved the Android APK somewhere. And you'd imagine for board games, someone is doing that.
I have less faith. The only problem with that is if it does need a tablet rather than a phone, that's quite limiting. Unless you can pass one tablet.
Oh, I believe it can be a phone. But you're supposed to pass one tablet, right? No, you pass one.
Okay. Well, that's not so bad then, if you're passing one tablet around. Because if everyone needs a tablet and all need to be connected on the internet, it just...
I don't know. I don't know if you can do it with four different ones.
Okay.
Just one. Actually, that would be an interesting way. It might speed the game up if they've made it so you could do that. But I don't think they had that functionality into it.
Yeah, it just means setting up would be longer, getting everyone on the internet, getting them all connected to the same game, and just the faff of that would be amazing. Whereas if the host has it on their tablet and has the game, then, you know, you're all set up. Because typically one person will bring the game along, and then they could bring the tablet along. Because if it's required for the game, then that's...
I believe Gloomhaven has an app, but we've not been using it. But you can use that to track your campaign and stuff.
So a lot of these games, Zombicide's got an app, so you don't have to use all the cards and stuff.
Oh, yes, I saw that. So if you don't own any of the special characters, you can just play them anyway.
Yes, correct. Which I quite
like. XCOM's quite a good board game. It's very hard, very tough.
I mean, XCOM's a tough game, right?
Yeah.
It's a really tough
game. I played the tutorial mission twice on that, and I've still not completed it. The tutorial mission.
On the XCOM board game or the XCOM the video game?
No, the board game. The video games I've completed, both of them.
Really? I got a bit fed up with XCOM, the video games. Just couldn't get into it. Yeah, I think I like the idea of these games, but I don't like them in reality. The one that I've got the most mileage out of was Mario and Rabbids. And I think that was probably the theme or the setting more than anything else.
Well, I'm going to try... I've got it. I've had it for ages. Invisible Ink, which is another one of these... what do you call them? Tactical, turn-based, tactical.
Yeah, I've started playing that one.
I need to go back to the Banner Saga at some point as well.
Well, number 3's out, isn't it now?
Banner Saga. Yes, I believe I own number 1 on iPad, but I just never got round to.
I think I've got 1, maybe 2 on Steam. I don't know. I've definitely got 1.
My iPad ended up breaking, but I think it's one of those ones that's pad only.
Yeah, very possibly.
Even if I did put it on my phone might be a bit small.
What, for Invisible Ink?
No, for Banner Saga.
Oh, I see.
Invisible Ink, I wouldn't like to play on a phone.
Banner Saga is available on the phone.
It is? I'll have to see if I own it.
Yeah, it's on iOS. And it is probably a cross-purchase game, I would imagine.
There's not many that aren't nowadays.
You've, I, I think you have to buy it on both.
Well, there you go. That might be why.
Offers an iPad app as well. But I don't think it's yeah. the same.
Yeah, it was in the early days when they didn't so often.
Oh, no, it does. It says compatibility iPad.
Okay, yeah, you can probably play the phone one on the iPad. Whether you can play the iPad one on the phone, I don't know.
I don't know. I'm going to go to a game that I know is cross-platform. Just check. Because I'm sure it's the little plus symbol, isn't it?
I don't know. I don't have iOS anymore.
Do you know? I think it might be, yeah.
I've got a work iPad, but I don't do games on that because it works.
I think they've changed all the icons in...
Who knows what they're doing with iOS?
Have you seen this Donut County? Oh, it's a complete mess. You can't. There's no wish list functionality or anything.
Nope. And who knows what they've done with? I really don't like what they've done with the store.
No,
it's just an editorial thing now. Like, where's the? How do you find new games now? You can't really.
You have to wait for them to point it out.
And they've done away with their referral schemes. You know, good journalist websites that are checking them out can't make commission and probably can't survive anymore.
Yeah, but Apple can buy more stuff or Knox, then they have to pay tax. Bleeding Apple. So, Si, did you listen to last week's show?
I have. I believe I sent you a message. Was that on about the show the week before?
No,
I listened
to both. Okay, and where do you stand on the Switch debate?
I was here.
Which has rocked the Infinite Loopcast world. Yeah, I came out from recording the show last week, and Claire was like, "What on earth happened to you guys? Why were you getting so heated?"
Where
do you stand?
Okay, it's the same position I was probably in with the Wii U when about this time when I bought a Wii U and I saw one going for really really cheap, which I haven't seen with the Switch, so you know that might be a big difference. And there were maybe 5-6 games, 7 games. That I thought, okay, I'll get it. Mario Kart, yeah, I'll get it for that. Smash Bros., yeah, I'll get it for that. A Mario game. Actually, I never even got the Mario game for the Wii U. A Mario game, yeah, I'll get it for that. And then what? What else is... There's nothing on it. I agree with Aaron. You know, these are the games
that I've been playing. Do you want me to go through what I've got on my Switch?
Can you go through the ones that I can't play on the PC?
Yeah, that I can't play on anything else. Go on.
That you can't play on anything else. All right, so you've got Super Mario Odyssey, Demambo, Mario Tennis Aces.
Isn't Demambo on PC?
I don't know. I would assume not. Death Squared, I don't know if that's on anything else.
I'm sure Demambo's on PC, because that's something we interviewed about 3 years ago.
Yeah, but that was for the Switch when we interviewed them. It was for the Wii U, actually, when we interviewed them. Yeah, and then they moved over to the Switch. Death Squared... Xenoblade Chronicles 2, Splatoon 2.
I've not even played Xenoblade Chronicles 1, and I don't know.
I assume these are on other consoles, but 1979 Revolution, Black Friday, which is the game about the Iranian Revolution.
Yeah, that's on iPad.
Type of Man, which obviously is on everything else, but this is quite a nice version. Mario Kart 8, which is on everything. Octopath Traveler, which is obviously Nintendo exclusive and a really good RPG. Mario Rabbids Kingdom Battle. Zelda, something called Violet. I don't know what that is.
I could get Zelda on my Wii U. Actually, I don't have my Wii U.
I've got Zelda on the Wii U.
Yeah, but it's not the same. I Am Setsuna.
It's the same. It's not the same.
So here's what I'm going to... Here's why I'm saying it's not the same. Sorry, let me just justify what I'm saying. It's not the same because you can't take it out with you. If you leave the house with the Wii U, it stops working.
Okay.
It's the same game.
If I go out of the house... I don't intend to go out of the house to play my games.
Right, so
I've got enough games on my Vita if I need to go out of the house.
Don't get me started with Vitas. I'll come on to Vitas in a minute. Lego City Undercover is obviously on there, but that's available on other stuff. I Am Setsuna. Sexy Brutale, again, it's on other stuff. Golf Story is excellent.
Sexy Brutale is excellent.
It is good. I haven't got as into it as I feel like I should be into it. Do you know what I mean by that? Like, I'm really enjoying it, but it doesn't pull me back in to go and have another go at a new level. Like, it's one of those games that I have to randomly be in the mood for, rather than something like South Park or Xenoblade, which is always pulling me back in. Which is EA, I'm sure that's on other stuff. Snake Pass, again, that'll be on other stuff. Nine Parchments, Pan Pan, Oxenfree, Subspace Circular. That's what's in my Switch. Let me go to the eShop while I'm on here. Like, it's got a lot of games. It's not that you can't get them on other stuff. It's the form factor for me that absolutely kills it.
That's right. Like a convenience for you, though, isn't it? Like, I'm not going to buy it for the form factor unless it has more things I actually want to play.
It's
got Monster Hunter Generations Ultimate, which is on the, you know, yes, whatever.
Yeah,
it's the Uber version of that. It's got piles of stuff. I mean, the trouble is I don't know what's on other stuff. I mean, you know, the Switch has got a huge library now by now. It's got stuff like that Prison Architect. Again, portable form factor, really nice. Morphe's Law, which is the game I talked about last week about the mass transference with the body parts. It's got a version of Keep Talking, Nobody Explodes. So you could take the Switch out with you to a mate and play Keep Talking, Nobody Explodes. So one of you's got the Switch and the other one's got the instruction manuals. Again, works really well.
Is that touch?
I don't know. I haven't played it on the Switch. I assume it works on touch.
Because touch would be a good way of doing that.
Let me have a look.
But these are all little indie games. I'm not going to buy a console for little indie games that I've already got on other consoles.
But it is a very, like, it is a very much supported indie console. Okami HD, again, I've never played it, but it's available on here. Minutes, which is that game that takes place in 60-second chunks.
I mean, the thing I think about things like Okami, though, is if I was going to play Okami, I would have played it already.
See, I want to play Okami, but it's never been in a form factor that suits me. This is the thing with the Switch. Because it's a form factor that suits me, I can lie in bed and play it while Claire's asleep, or I can play it when we're away, I can... You know, I can take it to work. I can take it out and play with friends.
You can do that with your Vita.
I'll talk to you later about my Vita. You can't. It's not the same. I can go. So the other night I met a friend for coffee. I took the Switch. We put it on the tabletop. Put it, you know, the little kickstand out. Each had a Joy-Con from the side of the Switch, and we played games all night. It does. It genuinely does what it shows that it would do on the advert.
Yeah, you see, I don't meet up with friends in coffee shops to play games.
No, I normally I'll have a conversation or something.
No,
I loathe coffee shops to start with. But...
Yeah,
yeah, it's not. I can see the use case for it. It's
just the other night, my friends wanted to play Overcooked, but they were around at someone else's place who didn't have any console or anything like that. So I just took the Switch over, connected it up, and we're off. Like, that level of portability really lends itself.
Yes. It works for you, that's
yeah,
good,
and I think this is the thing. I think when the Switch is the right console for you, like, I've never experienced something that's as cool as it, and it's not just the fact that it's portable. It's everything that it does, and the way that it does it.
But what's coming? I don't see what's coming.
Oh, do you want me to go to the coming soons? Hold on.
There is a bunch coming out, but it's stuff that's out on other things as well. Most of it.
Let me go to coming soon, and I'll tell you.
Trying to think.
You can tell me. There's something called The Messenger, Freedom Planet, Mini Metro, which obviously is out on other stuff. Video Kid. Real Politics, New Power, Haunted Dungeons, God Wars, Fall of Light, Claws of Fury, Clash of Carrots, Ninjin, Planet Alpha, Moonfall, Hyperlight Drifter, Kentucky Robo Chicken, Shin Hondo something, Broforce, Siggy, SNK Heroines, Mummy Pinball, Super Infected Golf, Ludomania, Dust and Elysian Tale, Time Carnage, Bastion?
Yeah, they're bringing out a whole bunch of old things.
I'll probably play Bastion again. Defunct, OSM, Old School Musical, Wasteland 2 Director's Cut, Nefarious Undertales finally coming out, The Gardens Between, which just looked awesome. Did you see The Gardens Between trailer, Si?
No.
Oh, it just looks brilliant. It's a sort of a point, looks a bit like point-and-clicky adventure-y, puzzle-solving-y. and it looks like it's to do with direction of time flow, a bit like Braid, but not Braid. It looks really cool. Really excited for that. Hover, Labyrinth, Refrain, Broken Sword 5, Valkyria, Chronicles 4, Towerfall, Monster Loves You, Super Mario Party, Goosebumps the Game, The World Ends With You, Final Remix, My Hero, One's Justice, Dark Souls, Arena Valor, Warframe, and Diablo Eternal Collection. That's currently what's on the coming soon list.
Yeah, Transistor and things like that are coming as well.
So they're not on my list of, okay, of coming soons, but I'm sure they are. Like, there's enough on there that I've not played that I'd rather play on the Switch. As I said, genuinely, since buying the Switch, I haven't really played on the Xbox or the PS4 significantly.
See, I've got most of a whole bunch of those on one platform or another, because obviously a bunch of those have gone free on PS Plus.
Yeah.
Oh, do you know what else just came on Switch today?
Mm-hmm.
Night Trap.
Oh.
It's Night Trap.
FMV game. It's an old FMV game.
I will pass.
And you have to stop the vampires from infecting the sorority.
Yeah, you have ninjas. To. Yeah. The ninja vampires need. Oh, yeah.
So basically, you control video cameras in a sorority house.
Yeah, I'll pass.
You sure you don't want to play this one with Claire?
Yeah, I think I'm probably all right, even just by myself, not playing this one. I will give this one. I was going to say a hard pass, but that's probably the wrong choice of phrase. So, has there been anything that's grabbed you and you've been playing tons of Scythe, or just dabbling with various bits?
What have I been playing? I've been playing Zero's... Wait, hang on. The Nonary Games series, I'm sure that's what it's called. The Zero Escape games. Do you know which games I refer to? So there was Nine Hours, Nine Doors, Nine People, whatever it was first. And then the second one is... Zero Escape Virtue's Last Reward, and then the new one is called Zero Escape. No, the Nonary Games is...
9 Hours, yes. 9 Person, 9 Doors, Zero Escape Virtue's Last Rewards, and Zero Time Dilemma.
That's the one. So I've been playing that one. And
that's on the 3DS, is it?
No, that's on the Vita. Is it on the 3DS?
Yeah, it looks like it.
Okay. That's interesting. Because the first one was on the DS... But never got a Europe. This is the stupid thing. The first one was on the DS and never got a European release, so I ended up importing it. Because the second one was on the Vita and they gave it to us with PS Plus. People said no, you need to play the first one first.
The second one was released for the 3DS.
Eventually, it might have been
November 23rd, 2012.
Oh, really? Okay. I didn't realise it was released on 3DS. Virtue's Last Reward was it?
Virtue's Last Reward is on 3DS, and the Zero Time Dilemma is also on 3DS.
Okay, so I don't know if that's when it was released or if that was later. So I've been watching that.
In Japan on the 16th of February 2012, and released in America and Europe sort of October, November 2012.
Okay. So the last one had like a, the last two, you know, you follow through a linear path and then as things happen, you can go back and change your decisions. Whereas in this one, you know, it's jumping around in time and stuff and you're looking at the timeline, but it's a bit confusing at the moment. I don't know if it's going to, and I must be about a third of the way through, I guess. And I guess it's going to, you know, join back up, but it's hard to tell. I think, you know, the first two were good games, but the stories, they got really wishy-washy.
You know, a bit like Professor Layton games.
Yeah, you know, it's sometimes in these games you're like, okay, I'd like a nice logical explanation. Like in the Sherlock Holmes type thing, you know, I want a nice logical explanation.
Or just don't bother with the story and just give me the puzzles.
Do you remember?
Say again?
Yeah. So, you know,
That was my thing with Layton. Like, I enjoyed the first two, and then I was like, ugh, the story's just... they're just not engaging. I'm just very happy to play through the puzzles and be done with it.
Yes. But the... So I'm trying to think now what the... I've lost what I was saying.
That's right. Don't you worry. Have you played anything else apart from these puzzles?
There was another game I've been playing. Oh, Dead Rising. Dead, oh my god.
Island.
Dead Rising.
One, two, or three.
Talking about going back and forward in time. Well, I've gone back in time and been playing that one, the very first one.
In the shopping centre.
You have to keep PS4, and you have to keep restarting the game.
Why just keep restarting the game?
Because every time you die, you have to go back to the very start.
Oh, yeah. I thought when the re-release, they fixed the checkpointing.
There is, like, save points you can save point at. But I don't know if it particularly helps.
Okay.
You know, you go back to the start, but you keep all your leveling. So, it's, you know, it's the mechanic of the game. But... it's just very, difficult to get into, having to replay the same bit over and over and over and over. You know, my guy's getting stronger, but there's a bit like there's three guys in a car. Have you played it? Did you ever play it?
No, I never actually got around to playing Dead Rising, any of them.
And there's a bit in the park, and there's three guys in a Jeep who are driving around. And I'm basically waiting for them to glitch out by crashing into a tree, because otherwise you can't hit them. Because the shooting's rubbish and it doesn't take enough damage off them anyway. Now, I don't know if I'm missing a trick. I've seen in Dead Rising games, you used to be able to, like, craft weapons and stuff.
I think that only came in at number two or three.
I think I've got the trilogy, so, you know, one, two, and three. But then there's multiple versions of each, isn't there? So I'm not 100% sure what I have and haven't got. I'll have to check. Because there's, you know, like, I think there's a couple of versions of three, isn't there? Well, you know, not... by spin-off ones. So there's probably about six Dead Rising games.
Isn't there Dead Rising 4, or is that not a thing?
Yeah, there is 4. No, there is 4. And I've got a load of them on PC. In fact, I might even own 4 from a Humble Bundle. I think it was given away in one of the Humble Monthlies. So I'll need to check that out. I don't think what else I've been playing. I started Prey, but I didn't get very far, and then I sort of dropped off it a little bit. I think I talked about it before, but I finished Assassin's Creed Origins. But I think I spoke about that.
Oh, is it? Yeah. Is it good?
Yes.
I've got it. I've only just made it to Alexandria in my game.
Okay, so you're very early on.
Yeah,
big map.
I've got a fair bit to do.
Yeah, I ended up platinum it, but it took a long time to get to that.
But worth playing.
Yes, definitely. Well, that's why I platinumed it. But then I like Assassin's Creed. So I ended up playing, let me have a look. Oh my god, my mind is terrible today. What was the free game in PS Plus? Dead by Daylight.
Okay.
Oh yeah.
Isn't there a new one of those coming out?
I don't think so.
Okay.
Well, so there's the two games. There's the Friday the 13th one, which they had all the legal troubles over. Not because of the game, but rather because of the Friday the 13th license. In general, the movies, the game, the books, or whatever else they produce, everything, you know, has come into some legal trouble over one of the ex-writers claiming that he owns the rights and someone else claiming they own the rights. It basically means they can no longer develop the game, even though it's still early access or whatever it is. I don't think they released the version one, but it's not. Let's say it's one of these new ongoing development type games.
Right.
So that one got cancelled. It's not been cancelled, but you know, they're only doing bug fixes from now on. No more additions to the game. Even stuff that they've made, they were about to release, they basically can't release it. Dead by Daylight is similar. And I've been playing that. I have some problems with the colorblind though. I've been trying to look up the colorblind, you know, options, online, see whether Desda are going to include it, and they keep saying they don't want to include it because it will change the way the game is played by people. Which I think, as our resident,
surely it would just change it to the fact that they can actually play the game.
I know, right? So if you're playing the monster, you know, if you're playing Leatherface or Jason or whoever you're playing, not Jason. Is it Jason? Which way around are they? Friday the 13th is Jason, isn't it? So Michael Myers.
Freddy.
Freddy is in this one. Freddy is Nightmare on Elm Street. Halloween is Michael Myers, yeah, so he's in this one. Jason is Friday the 13th.
Jason is Friday the 13th, yeah.
Which is weird, because Freddy and Jason were obviously in the film together. But he's the only... And that was originally the one that was licensed, and Dead by Daylight wasn't. Then Dead by Daylight's gone and got Annabelle, you know, Chucky. I don't know if it's got Chucky, but the Saw woman. All these villains... licensed them in as DLC, and Friday the 13th has now lost its license. So if you're playing as the monster or the villain or whatever you want to call them, it shows red marks on the floor if you're chasing a bleeding survivor, but you can't see those very well
because they're red.
Yes, you know, if they were purple, yellow, green or something, it'd be a lot more helpful.
They're a bit... I get their... Okay, so I can understand where they're coming from. So what they're basically saying is that if you were to make the colours different, then people who weren't colourblind might have an advantage in play and they wouldn't play the game the way they intended it.
I mean, what would their advantage be? That they would turn on the colourblind option? And
yes, and then they could see things easier.
Yeah, but it's the same option for everyone. Everyone can do that.
No, because you would just be seeing it, quote-unquote, normally, in terms of you'd be seeing it the way that you're meant to see it, but someone who's got full colour perception could have an advantage. So it might be that for them to see something in red is of a certain contrast, whereas for them to the colourblind option for red might be purple, let's say, and purple stands out much more as an unnatural colour to a non-colourblind person.
Well, it stands out to me. That's why I would choose purple.
Yeah, but again, you would be seeing the game in a different way. I can understand what they're saying. I completely disagree. I think in this day and age, when it literally is just a case of entering in, you know, a series of gamut settings for your HUD, there's just no. I don't think there's really a significant excuse. This might be, but I could be wrong. Devs might be listening to this and thinking,
"No, you're not wrong. You're the AI expert here."
That's my take on it. I think in this day and age, colorblind assessment should just be a given. I can't
should
believe.
Be there with you.
Yeah, I can't believe that we still have to discuss if colorblind assessments are in a game or not.
Yeah,
it has sort of put me off going into the game. You know, I do quite well as the monster, but I feel like I could be doing so much better if I could actually see where they're all going and stuff. So it's.
Yeah, retrofitting colorblind options could be hard, but you should think about them to start with.
Yeah, I don't think retrofitting them is that hard. You know, if there's colors that are confusing, just give people the ability to set the color themselves.
Yeah, but recoding all that into the game so you take a variable rather than
whatever. Yeah, but it could be done at an engine level.
I mean, that's just got to be a palette somewhere, hasn't it?
Yeah.
Not necessarily. Well, it'd be a texture. And therefore you've got to, in your application of that texture, then add some sort of skew to that texture to change the colour of that texture when it's mapped to the object. Obviously this texture is a splat of blood on the floor. So obviously that's an image or whatever they've used for that texture that they've brought in. In order to change the colour of that texture, you then have to apply a modifier to that texture when you apply it. So you've got to find out every time you use that texture in the game and then apply that modifier as a variable modifier to that texture. It's doable. I'm not saying it's impossible. But depending on how well or how libraried up your code is, depends whether you have to change it in a couple of places or just throughout the entire game. If you've copied that texture to every place that you use it, you've then got to redo it every time. Whereas if you've kept it in one central location and then reused it from that central location, that's one change you need to make.
I would assume because it's a mechanic, it's using it from a central location.
Yeah, it depends on coding.
You know, the excuse is, you know, it only affects 1 in 10 guys, so it's only 10, you know, 10% is quite 10% large.
10% is a high percentage of your...
10% of players, yeah.
Yeah.
They seem to use that to dismiss it, but I'm thinking, you know, you're right up.
7%.
Well, okay, well, yeah, women and men, it's 7%, isn't it?
Women and men combined, it's 7.8%.
But let's assume people playing Dead by Daylight is predominantly men. I know it's an assumption.
I would not assume that.
I'd say it's probably skews towards men, but yeah, you're probably higher than 7, but yeah, you won't be up to 10. So yeah, but I don't know. It's maybe we need more labelling on games. In terms of what settings they do allow you to do. We have labelling to say where it does 4K and stuff, so why not label colour blindness on there?
Colour blindness
settings.
Unless they do it wrong. There was, what was I seeing the other day? There was a game that did it completely wrong. I can't remember what it was now. It was a big game as well. I think it was one of the perfect. It might be Doom. I don't think I ever enabled colourblind on Doom.
The thing is, if they've done it wrong, that's an easy correct. Because you've already got the variable in there. They can just change
what they did on Doom is, instead of making it so that it makes it so colorblind people can see better, it made it colorblind settings basically was like a colorblind filter, so it showed the game world as if you're colorblind. Like how you do that, I do not know.
Well, it's probably just the gamut adjustment.
They just went the wrong way.
Yeah.
They made it for so that for everyone it looks like it's a colorblind mode.
Just brown mess.
Yeah, they just basically took the value the wrong way. They just need to probably negate that value. I don't know. Maybe that'll work. I don't know.
Don't know. There's some really good apps that show you the world as if you were colorblind. There's some really good apps.
I was looking up about those glasses, but apparently they're a bit naff.
They are complete rubbish. The ones you see advertised on Facebook?
Yeah, in Chrome or whatever they're
called. Oh, it's just marketing nonsense. It shifts your colour space slightly so that you can differentiate the hue, but you can't see the colour. Like all of these videos you see on Facebook, people are like, oh my God, look at the colours! They can't actually see the colour because they don't have the cells to see the colour. They can just differentiate the fact that there is a different colour there. And even then, it depends on the specific combination of sort of cells and quantities of pigments and stuff at the back of the eye. It doesn't work the way that the Facebook video tells you it works, which probably won't come as a surprise to anybody.
No. I was looking and it was saying, you know, when you watch screens and stuff, it doesn't do anything. You know, makes a slight change when you walk outside or something, and you might see some flowers you never saw. But
I'm sure Windows have colorblind settings. It must do.
I think it does.
There is some stuff.
It has loads of accessibility settings. So
but this is on PS4, and you know the trouble is if you change, you'd end up changing the whole gamma of the game to make it visible. It's what professional gamers do, don't they? They change their brightness settings and stuff.
Oh yeah, you can change all your brightness settings so that it's better for you.
It's all a bit odd. Has anyone played the new World of Warcraft expansion?
Nope. I did. Wait, is this 2000? I did look at it.
Which has got a lot of high praise.
Yeah, it's World of Warcraft.
The trouble is, I need to play all the way through Legion, I think, to be able to level there, right? So I've not done Legion.
All the way through everything.
Oh, I've not done Draenor.
No, you don't.
I'm high in Mr. Pandaria.
Don't you get a free level?
I don't think you get that amusement.
I don't want a free level. I want to play the game that you're playing.
Yeah. Well, I might do that with one of my characters. I'm at the beginning of Warlords of Draenor, so I've got all of that to do. Then I've got all of Legion, and then I'm there.
I don't know. I did hear you got one level, but you can pay for others.
I'd be happy if, like, you know, I could fast level, skip the NAF quests, you know, fetch 10 apples, whatever.
I think they've re-geared the leveling curve, so you just play the main story, like in Star Wars.
I went in a while ago. I think it was the last expansion, and I tried the trial, and I leveled so quickly. It was ridiculous. I got to, in the space of, a week and a half, I got to a space where I'd spent 6 months getting to previously.
Yeah, they've completely changed the level curve of the game.
It's ridiculous how quickly I leveled. And that was soloing.
But if you think about it, what does it go up to now? Level 119 or 120? So
yeah.
It's basically double the original level.
Yeah, because I got to level 30-something.
Is that it?
In a week and a half, yeah.
Oh, no, in a week and a half, that's pretty good going.
Yeah, yeah. Originally, yeah, when it first came out, yeah, it took me about 6 months to get to...
Oh, my God, to level it when it first came out took absolutely forever. Oh,
it did.
It was ridiculous.
But, yeah.
Aaron, have you played any games? Sorry, I cut you off there. Were you going to say anything exciting?
No, not really. Because I was just saying, I was in on the pre... I got pre-order on World of Warcraft.
Well, so the original?
Yeah.
Oh,
so I was in...
Classic.
Pre-release. Yeah.
Did you get the collector's edition?
No.
That's worth a fortune.
I've got the pre-order disc around here somewhere, where you got to go in early. So we got sort of like a week's head start or something.
Uh-huh.
I beta tested Lord of the Rings online as well. I got the lifetime on that.
I've got the lifetime on that. Yeah, but you screwed up and you lost the lifetime on that.
I lost it, yeah. So, yeah. But I've played a bit more Mass Effect, a bit more Astroneer. Just been going back to the same things. GTA online, I've played quite a bit of that. I've got Strange Brigade, but I haven't played it yet. I've got the new expansion for Bridge Crew, but I haven't played it yet. But yeah, I'm looking to play Boundless soon, because I've played that pre-go live, I can now get in now, because they've reset the world. They've reset all the world, so I can go in pre-release. And
so that'll just go for you, sorry. You disappeared there, Aaron.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
You disappeared.
You started on you disappeared around pre-release.
Of what? Of
Boundless. Well, you'll still be on yours.
Yeah.
Yeah. So because I got, because I've been on the early access version of Boundless and I've been playing that, I've got access to the early worlds, so I can go in and head start. Because they've reset all the worlds, got it all ready, and now I can go in and it's going to be live now. Because it goes live on the 11th of September, so no more resets, no more reset of progress. Because they did that every now and then, they rejigged all the skills, they reset all your progress. But now it's going to be live, that's it. It's worth putting some hours in to go forwards. I really did like the time I did on that, so... I'm going to put some more hours in that. Wildlands has had a big update as well, where you share...
Oh, you do like your Wildlands.
Yeah, or islands, or whatever you want to call it. But yes, so what you can do with this is you can upload your world so that other people can download and play it. So you can share the world, effectively.
Oh, that's cool. I like that.
So I think the idea is that... You don't have to rent a server. You can share the world, and whoever's playing it will host. So if I start playing it, and then you want to play it, you'll just come in on my world. But if you want to play it, and I'm not playing it, you'll just get the latest cloud version of that game.
That makes sense. That's a nice way of doing it. It would be good if they brought that across to Staxel.
Yeah, yeah. It's the sort of thing that those sorts of games would be great. So you can just... You can do that. And what was the other game? No Man's Sky.
Yes.
It'd be great if we could do that. So we could both participate in the same game and expand that universe.
Yeah, no, I agree.
Without
it would be.
Us both having to organise to be on at the same time.
It would be. I tell you what, it would be really good, which I'm dying to play, but I haven't really found sort of a partner to play with on it, is The Escapist 2.
Oh, okay.
Because that's got co-op.
Is it?
Yeah, it's got co-op. It was part of the
first one.
It was part of the August Tumble Bundle.
Oh, okay, then I do own it.
I
played the first one somewhat. But...
If you add it to your Steam library, then I can play with RDU RAM.
Yes. Is it two player co-op? Or
yeah,
more?
Yeah, you can play co-op.
Yeah, but 2, 3, 4,
oh,
5, 6, 7?
I don't know. I know you can definitely play 2, and I will go to the Steam page and have a look.
Yeah.
Online co-op, local co-op, online multiplayer, it says, but I don't know if that's one of you playing as police or what.
Yeah, because Strange Brigade is a 4-player co-op.
Yes. That, I think that for me, that'll be a next month thing.
Yeah, so that'll be quite good. So I'm gonna have a go and see how far I get. But yeah, if one of you guys start playing it next month, then we can start again from scratch, play on your game, and then I'll join in with whatever character I got.
Strange Brigades.
Yeah.
Can you carry across your progress in different games?
If I'm playing on your game, you get the progress.
Okay.
It progresses.
That's a shame.
Game. So that means that if I start playing now, then the idea is if we're playing together later, we plan your game to get you to where my game
you
is.
You are. Right.
And then I think the idea is then you alternate play a level to keep it yourself. I don't think there's that many levels, to be honest. So.
It looks fun. It looks like the sort of thing I'd enjoy.
Yeah.
Bit of run and gun.
But yeah, I don't think you keep any coins or experience you earn on other people's games. Which seems a bit weird.
That does seem a bit weird. Very strange.
Yes.
Very, very strange.
Maybe if we interview them again, we can ask them about that. Because
yeah,
we didn't interview them.
And we can ask them about...
year or year before?
Rogue Trooper 2.
Yes, Rogue Trooper. Yeah.
I'm thoroughly enjoying. Aaron, is that about it?
I think that's about it. I may have played some other bits, but nothing worth speaking of. The new Elite Dangerous patch is out, but I've not got round to playing that yet.
That's added in a whole bunch of stuff, isn't it?
Yeah, there's a whole bunch of fighters and a new ship. And some new ruins and other things. It's not the big update. That's next update. Q4
okay.
update is the big update.
Fine.
But yeah, it's added a couple of bits.
Let's give that a go. I've been playing a bit on the Switch. It won't surprise anybody. I haven't touched really the PC. What have I been playing? I have
a console
playing...
to exist.
Shiflings, I've been playing a little bit of Stardew Valley, still not convinced I love that. Demamba, I think Stardew Valley is just too fussy. I think they need to streamline it a bit.
I think we should play together.
Yeah, I'm assuming it's got crossplay.
I don't know about crossplay.
I own it on PC.
I've got it on PC as well. Shiflings, I've been playing with Claire. That was quite good fun. Demambo, I played a bit with Claire. Mario Tennis Aces, I've been playing a little bit. Death Squared again, I've been playing a little bit. I love Death Squared. It's a really fun little puzzle game. Well, any of you played Death Squared?
No.
I talked about Death Squared before. Death Squared, which I think may even be free on Xbox at the moment. Death Squared is a puzzle game where it's very easy to accidentally kill the other person, and the aim of the game is to solve the puzzle without dying, which completely undersells the idea. It's it's hilarious. It's very, very funny puzzles. So sometimes if you move left, you may cause spikes to appear, but if you move right, you may cause lasers to move. So you've got to work out the right combination of both of you moving in order for both of you to survive and get to the end on your respective parts.
Okay.
That makes sense?
Yeah.
It's very clever. It's well worth playing. If you've got access to it. As I said, on the Switch, I can play it wherever I go. What else have I been playing? I think that's probably about it for in terms of what I've been doing. Aaron?
Yeah?
It's not long to go to Eurogamer.
I know. I'm getting ready. I've got some bits ready.
We talked a bit last week about the show. How is our floating couch doing?
I've had a look.
Mm-hmm.
And it's doable.
Serious?
It's... The only problem we'll have is getting it in through the door.
Yep.
Past security.
Ah, that'll be all right. Yep.
They might be. And B, actually dragging it round the show floor That's the bit I'm concerned about.
Yeah.
Because there is stuff like boardings and banners and lighting and lots of stuff.
Yeah.
Potentially get in the way of a helium-filled couch.
Yeah.
So we might not be able to do that.
Okay. Sounds a bit boring to me. So are you coming to Eurogamer with us?
I have not booked any ticket of any kind thus far.
Okay.
Just we're planning.
Just because I start my new work.
Fill up the third. What's your new work? Oh, we'll talk about that show. Aaron, fill up your fill up the Thursday first, buddy. Just in case I can't go on the Friday.
Oh, okay.
There's a very slim outside thing. Yeah, do Thursday first. There's a very, very slim outside chance I can't do Thursday. Friday, but it's slim.
Okay.
Let me have a look. Right. Let's scroll down. We're going to talk about two random games on the list of stuff that's at Eurogamer. The first thing, because we talked about Primetime Detective and Card Life.
Yeah.
Which I still need to play, actually. It's installed. Suspect Nothing is one of the games I'm going to talk about this week.
Okay.
Which is by CoatSync Games, or CoatSync Interactive.
Okay.
Who you may remember from such games as Esper 2, Shu, and Gang Beasts.
Were they Gang Beasts?
Well, I didn't think they developed Gang Beasts, but it's on their website.
Okay.
It's from the... So it says about... I think they published Gang Beasts. So
okay.
About...
I think
about
we used it last year.
From the creators Esper, A Night Sky and Augmented Empire comes a comedy minigame collection about robots and deception.
Okay.
Okay. We interviewed them about Augmented Empire.
We did. We did, yes.
So my thing with this is it's a VR game. And they're releasing it on Oculus Go and Gear VR.
Okay.
But they're not releasing it on the Rift. Or the Vive. I don't understand when companies do this, especially as they'll be using the Oculus API, presumably, for the Oculus Go.
But the Augmented game wasn't on anything either. Augmented Empire game wasn't on anything except for, you know, those platforms.
That was mobile only as well.
Because I remember asking them. I asked them why. I can't remember. You have to go back and listen to the interview. But I think they said something about it working on a different... it just doesn't work on the... The way they get it to work doesn't work on the other VR sets.
Mm-hmm. It's just... Yeah. Just irritating. It irritates me when stuff like that happens. Because obviously, you know... The Oculus and the Vive are more than capable of running those sort of games.
I think that it might have been a business decision even. Because it's a game, well, the Augmented Empire one is a game where you just look. There's no buttons because obviously your phone is on your face.
Right.
Although,
so you have to look.
Although they do have the controllers, don't they? Both the Gear VR and the Go have a controller. It's not a great controller, but it has a
They've got a thing with one button on it, hasn't it? Yeah. Or two buttons or something like that.
I think it's the same as the Oculus Remote, isn't it?
Pass.
That's got a circle with four buttons on and the centre button. I think that's the idea. I could be wrong. But I thought that's what they had. On the gear, I thought. I don't know. I can't tell. But yeah.
The other game that I'm going to talk about this week, if they want to let me into the website without going to the mailing list, is Those Who Remain. The choices were there. You just made the wrong ones.
Those Who Remain.
It's a psychological thriller that takes place in a small US town. And again, it's first...
It's not in Manila. Through in Manila. That would have been good.
First person, on PC, Switch, PS4, and Xbox. There you go, you want another Switch game. And it looks like it's going to take a note from... What was that game, that Silent Hill demo? What was that Silent Hill demo that came out on the PlayStation?
PT.
It looks like it's going to... It looks a bit PT-ish in terms of you're walking through a lot of corridors and strange things happen and there's eerie noise and stuff.
PT phone home.
And there's some strange creature walking towards you. If you watch the trailer... Skip to around 50 seconds and you'll see what I mean. You're walking down a corridor and some strange thing is lumbering towards you.
Okay.
So yeah, it looks like it's taking a lot of leaves out of PT's book. And a lot of people liked PT's book.
Yes, they did. There was a lot of disappointment when that got canned.
A lot of disappointment when that... I mean, look, the internet gets disappointed about most things.
Well, yes.
But... Yeah, there was an inordinate amount of disappointment. And that was roughly at the same time that they got rid of Metal Gear Solid's director as well, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Hideo Kojima. Well, he was on
Thank you. Was that part of it? Was that one of his?
Yeah, him and Guillermo del Toro.
Yeah. So, there you go. Those are the two games I'm talking about this week.
Okay. I shall have a look at getting interviews for those two. Then.
Ray tracing seems to be in Battlefield 5. Do you remember last week we said that, it's not going to be a thing, there's not going to be any games with it?
Yeah, and Tomb Raider.
Oh, and Tomb Raider?
Yeah, they demoed Tomb Raider having it as well. I think it was about three or four games that they showed it running on. So we'll see.
Okay.
We'll see.
That's interesting.
I'm not sure it's worth the what?
No, from the demo videos,
800 quid.
No, Eurogamer have got a video on their site at the moment showing the differences in what's that game called? Battlefield 5. And I feel like I wouldn't notice the difference in gameplay, although it's really stark in the slow-mo videos they record.
Yeah, you see, the thing is, I'd like it in something like. Cyberpunk, the new Cyberpunk game coming out, where there's lots of neon, lots of wet roads and...
Right. Yes, yeah. that would change the way the game looks.
Just ray tracing on all that neon everywhere. It's just, if they could pull that off and have all of that neon ray traced, that'd be amazing to have all the different lights. I assume that the artists on that game are going to do some really good jobs of faking it. Because that's what you do. You just fake it.
Yes.
Fake the ray tracing. You pre-ray trace it. And it looks good. It's not perfect, but it's good enough to fool you as you're running and gunning down the street. But obviously, if you're exploring the world, I don't know how open world it will be, but if you can explore the world and just take your time to wander through Night City... then, yeah, that's a time that you'll notice those sorts of things. But yeah, Battlefield, you're more interested in just gunning people down than exploring how well the light reflects off the puddles and things.
Yeah, well, not if you're Digital Foundry. That's kind of your raison d'etre, right?
Well, yes. Possibly Tomb Raider. It's a slower game, so that sort of thing matters more.
I think it's a much slower game, and you do look at the, especially in Tomb Raider, where you're looking at environmental puzzles.
Yeah. Also, GTA. That's those sorts of games. Your open world exploration-y type games, where you can take some time to just look at the scenery, look at the lighting, just soak it all in. Maybe, you know, a Bethesda game. You know, the classic Skyrim or Fallout where you come out of into the open world. Because Skyrim, you come out of that cave into the open world if you've got the lighting right and everything. It'd look amazing. And Fallout, when you come out of the shelter and you see the world and you can just look at all the lights and yeah, those are the moments that you're going to notice it. But as I say, whether it's worth a, you know, £600-800 minimum cost for you, I don't know.
I suspect it'll be the type of thing that I'll do once it's in my once I'm building my next PC.
Yeah, when it's standard, then when next round, going from a 1070 to a 2070, I don't think it's going to be worthwhile.
No, don't forget I'm on a 970.
Yeah, so it's more worth it for you, but maybe not just yet. When they come down, when it's no longer Founders Edition and you got the other cards coming out. Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. There is currently a Humble Bundle on, by the way, people might want to know about, since we talked about board games. There is a board game bundle. Anyone got this?
No, I did have a look at it, but...
Per dollar or more, and you get Ticket to Ride Complete, Sentinels of the Multiverse, Mysterium, and some expansion packs for those. £4.56, which is the running average, and you get Pathfinder, Carcassonne, some expansions of Sentinels of the Multiverse, Talisman, loads of Talisman stuff. Pay £7.74, and you get Armello as well, or Armelior. Si, what level did you go for?
I went for the top level. I think I've already got Armello, though, so probably I shouldn't have done. But
have you? On Steam?
Possibly, yes. It was. So, do you remember a long time ago, they were, on PlayStation Plus, they did two versions of it. They did a choose the PlayStation Plus game you want.
I've got Armello. I didn't even know I had Armello.
Yeah, I probably have it as well, and I didn't even realise.
Armello, the road to...
On PlayStation Plus, they did a choose what PlayStation Plus game you want to get for a month.
Oh, yeah.
Like, what was chosen, everyone would have to get.
Yeah, you could vote.
Yeah, and then Go Home was chosen, and Armello wasn't, and whatever the other one was. I've just realised they've never gone back and done that, have they?
No.
Stitched that, didn't they? They were like, we're going to do this every couple of months, and then they did it twice, and then never went back to it. Typical for PlayStation Plus, like when they introduced VR games and stuff. Yeah. I probably already own it, but I went for the top tier on the Humbly bundle.
Yeah, I own Armello, so I definitely wouldn't do that.
The complete Ticket to Ride is pretty good.
I was tempted with Pathfinder, because I am playing
Pathfinder Adventures.
Yeah, just because I'm playing Pathfinder
game.
as a tabletop.
Are you doing version 2?
We're playtesting the version 2.
Oh, you'll have to let me know what's that. Oh, you can tell me on this. What's that like?
It's all right. At the moment, we've only played the first session, first adventure, but yeah, it's the stats are so low on a first character is that the dice make all the difference. If you get some bad rolls, that's it. You can't do anything with them. It's all about the rolls. Effectively, your character makes no difference whatsoever. Because you only get a couple of points between being really good in the skill and not being trained in the skill at all. There's only about three different points between.
Okay, so it's completely different to version one then.
Yeah, because what they've done is they've tried to make it so that you can't make it so that you always succeed in a skill at low level.
That's like my I've got 22 into my stealth skill or something.
Yeah, because you could min-max it so that you could then just always succeed at a certain skill. But what we found is that it didn't matter who rolled the skill. because the you're rolling D20s, and the difference between an untrained and a competent person in a skill is about 2 points, the dice makes a lot more difference, being the 20 points difference to the outcome. So it didn't matter too much. You had a slightly better chance, but not anything that meant that it wasn't worth everyone rolling for every skill. So that was my feedback on that.
Have you seen that there's a Pathfinder 2018 bundle on Humble?
No.
Yes, so that's today. I was on there today. That's a load of scenarios for...
For Pathfinder, yeah. And they've got a Lord of the Rings RPG one as well.
Yep.
No, I hadn't seen that, so I'll have a look at that. Because I did go... I have got all the original Pathfinder rules. I got that through a Humble bundle as well.
So you have to imagine how cross-compatible adventures and things are going to be.
I don't know. I reckon not very, unless you just basically replace all the monsters with the new ones and the skill checks with new ones.
You have to imagine they're going to release the monsters, yeah. Because it's still going to be the same types of monsters, isn't it?
Yeah. It's still the same world, so I reckon they can just write an addendum for each adventure.
It's just that they haven't done it for a lot of stuff so far.
Well, this is just a playtest. This isn't even the final version of version 2.
But I imagine even in the final version, you'll only get the base 6 or 7 races, won't you, and the base 5 or 6 classes.
Yeah, but what they might do is, if you've bought it, at least digitally, through their site, I assume you just get the addendum automatically. They'll just do an addendum for certain rules, and you'll get that. So, I don't know. We'll have to see what they do. But they release a version 2 of everything.
So, talk about Humble Bundle. Well, it's not Humble Bundle, but PS Plus was announced today as well.
Yeah, you get Destiny 2 and God of War 3, which that's a pretty good month, right?
Yeah, that's decent. I might play for God of War 3 Remastered again. Well, I don't think I've ever played for the remastered versions.
So. I never played God of War at all, any of them, so I'm quite happy to play that.
Yeah, I've not played God of War. I've obviously 3 is a good got place Destiny to start. 2 already, but...
I've got Destiny 2 on the PC, and I've barely touched it.
Yeah, I've got it on both PS4 and PC, and I've barely touched either of them.
I would say play through 1 and 2 of God of War, but I don't know what the easiest way to play them is nowadays. I think you'd have to go back to...
I've got a PS3 sat here, so I could just play them on there, I guess.
I think they were in PS Plus on PS3 at one point.
Oh, maybe I've got them then.
The remasters.
So I've got a PS2 sat here, all ready to go if I ever fancy playing a PS2 game.
I've got a PS2 as well.
Yeah, I've got one up here and one in the playroom, because they use it as a DVD.
I think I just picked one up. I think I just picked up a grey Game Boy as well, from my parents' house to sort out, and all my PS1 games. Thrasher Skate and Destroy is sat on the top.
Oh, what more do you want in life?
That's a good skateboard game, that is. Or was. I don't know. I probably one that doesn't stand the test of time.
Yeah, the only PS2 games I currently own are Persona games. Because I think I got rid of all my old PS2 games.
At the top of the pile of PS2 games was Oni, which was a launch game, I believe, by Rockstar.
Oh my god, Oni was brilliant. It was a action combat game.
Is it by Rockstar?
It was by Rockstar, yeah. It was on the PC as well, which is where I played it.
It was very Japanesey, wasn't it?
It was all, yeah, manga-y anime. That was the first time I sort of got exposed to the art style. And you played a special police operative, and you had to go into warehouses, and it had a really good combat system. I remember that really well. That was a great game. You should go back and play that.
Well, I'll have to find a way to play that. That's the trouble.
What's it on?
PS2.
Oh, send me the disc.
If you would like it.
I'll have a rise on that. I'm sure I've got a
PS2 in the loft. On the knees.
On that bombshell that we're going to play Oni, Si, where can people follow you?
They can't. They have to follow the show.
Okay. They can follow the show.
Well, they can follow at UKVG Deals, but it's a bit inactive at the minute, so.
All right. Well, you can follow Si's inactive Twitter account over at UKVG Deals. He'll sometimes tweet, maybe possibly for the show.
Yeah, I do a couple of tweets every now and again. It's on hiatus, let's say.
Oh, can I just put something out to people who listen to the show? I need more Pokemon Go friends, please. I need one more Pokemon Go friend.
Oh, you can add me after the show.
Oh, brilliant. Okay, we'll do that. So
I don't know how you haven't got me already.
Neither do I, but I will send you my friend code now on Skype. Aaron, where can people follow you?
I'm at AaronHUK.
You can follow me over at Flyshe. You can follow the entire show at The Loopcasters. You can email us, theloopcasters@hotmail.com. It's Moltres. What? Apart from that, it's Pokemon Go. Apart from that, we will see you next week.
Bye.
Bye.
Okay.
We're out.
So when the